Lecture topic, lessons from Ramadan, part 1.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا وقد خلقكم أطوارا وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى قيل ومن يأبى يا رسول الله قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable ulama ikram, brothers, respected mothers and sisters, when we look into the du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we find amongst the many du'as that he often used to make, one particular du'a was, Allahumma rahmataka arju fala takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. O Allah, I depend on your mercy. O Allah, I rely on your mercy. Fala takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. Do not hand me over to myself, to my own actions, to my own thoughts, to my own aspirations, tarfata ayn, for the duration of the wink of an eye. You take a child, at times you hold him, you take him visiting, you tell him, discipline yourself, oh my little boy. We expecting visitors, please be respectful, do not speak out of hand. And the child, because he's been held by the hand of his mother or his father, he's very well disciplined, he's very obliging. Someone even makes a comment and says, Mashallah, what a sweet child, what's your name, boy? Who's your father? And then the father or the mother says, ask me how sweet he is. Ask me how sweet he is. He looks sweet, he looks obliging because the father has a hand over him. And then the father or the mother needs to excuse themselves and they say, okay, look here, I'm going out, I'll be back in 5 minutes. Please just sit here quietly. And in that 5 minutes, when the child is entrusted to his logic, to his actions, to his nature, to his temperament, then he manifests his true colors in that 5 minutes. That very child that was disciplined at all the homes respectively, but when he was left to his own actions for 5 minutes, then we know the havoc he causes in that 5 minutes. Wallah, if Allah has to leave us for a split second, and if Allah has to leave us for 5 minutes, the harm you and I will do is much more than the harm that child will do in 5 minutes. The maximum the child will do is break some utensils, damage something of this dunya. That 5 minutes is so critical that if Allah leaves us for a minute, and we are currently like those people who falsely look, like the child who falsely looks to be obliging because he is held by his father. And we make dua to the Almighty Allah that Allah has held us, that is why we are here. If Allah must never leave us, and that is the dua that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O Allah, don't ever leave me. Allahumma khudh bi nasiyati ila al-birri wa taqwa. Allah, grip me by my forehead and steer me to your obedience. Allah, don't leave me for a split second. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to make this dua often. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala ta'atik. O the turner of hearts, focus my heart on your obedience. Sahaba Ikram said, Atakhafu alayna ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, do you fear we will abandon you? We've accepted Islam, we will live with you and die with you. Why are you repeatedly asking Allah's steadfastness on this? The riwayat comes in Mishkat. Nabi alayhi salam said, O my Sahaba, I understand your commitment, but it is not as easy as you say. Your commitment verbally is there, but it is not as easy as you say. إِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ بَيْنَ إِسْبَعِينِ مِنْ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَنِ يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفَ يَشَى. Verily the hearts are between the two fingers of Allah. Allah can turn the heart of any human in any direction at any time. Hence, as Muslims, it is not correct for us to become complacent on our amal. That is the sign of a munafiq. When a person feels that I've done sufficient, I'm no longer susceptible and vulnerable to the influences of the devil. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates more than 5,000 ahadith from Nabi alayhi salam. In the latter part of his life, amongst the du'as he used to make daily was, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnati zina. Allah, I ask thy divine protection from zina. Someone said, Abu Huraira, a man of your caliber sat in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is your du'a. He said, how can I feel myself immune when the devil is still alive? So it is a lifelong effort. At no stage, at no point does a person terminate. It continues. Not even at the critical moment when the soul is leaving. At that time, the devil intensifies his effort. He does not retreat or withdraw, but he intensifies his effort. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam made the dua, Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatik ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatik. O Allah, favor us with that amount of consciousness of yours that becomes an obstacle to your disobedience. One day the Ansar had some problem in their farming, in their businesses. So they decided that let us go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we take his du'as. Subhanallah. It is important that we also look to the solution of our problems in the light of Quran and Hadith. We look at all other angles, like one Sahabi said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ قَسَاوَةً فِي قَلْبِكَ وَوَهْنًا فِي بَدَنِكَ وَحِرْمَانًا فِي رِزْقِكَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ قَدْ تَكَلَّمْتَ بِمَا لَا يَعْنِيكَ. That when you find lack of provisions, your business is not prosperous as you want it to be, and you find that you're somehow lethargic towards the obedience of Allah, a sense of laziness has got into you. And wahnan fi badanik, hirmanan fi rizqik, qasawatan fi qalbik, and you find your heart has become very hard. It's not melting before Quran and Hadith. You've not been captured. It's not been softened. Then apart from all the physical and external reasons, on a spiritual note, the reason of that is that you are abusing your tongue. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ قَدْ تَكَلَّمْتَ بِمَا لَا يَعْنِيكَ. Now we look into our lives in the month of Ramadan that is setting in. We perhaps fast, we abstain from food and drink. But as far as our tongue is concerned, there's a beautiful quotation in one kitab. One person mounted onto a camel, onto a donkey, and he was riding and he slipped and he fell. So when he fell, he said, Ta'is al himar, woe be to the silly animal. When he said this, here, now the angel started disputing. فَقَالَ صَاحِبُ الْيَمِينَ مَا هِيَ حَسَنَةٌ أَكْتُبُهَا. The angel recording good said, well, there was nothing noble in what the man said that I can record it. وَقَالَ صَاحِبُ الشِّمَالِ مَا هِيَ سَيِّئَةٌ أَكْتُبُهَا. The angel recording evil said, well, maybe it's an unpleasant word, but I don't think it's a sin that I could write it against the man and classify it as a sin. These angels started now arguing amongst themselves. This man has made a statement. Nobody wants to record it. So Allah then inspired the angel of recording the evil. مَا تَرَكَ صَاحِبُ الْيَمِينِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَاكْتُبْهُ. That the screening process will be done by the angel who records good. If it is not classified as noble, it would be classified as evil. If it is not considered as noble, as virtuous, as rewarding, the angel of good does not classify this as good. Aisha radiallahu anha said regarding Safiya, حَسْبُكَ مِنْ صَفِيَّةَ كَذَا وَكَذَا تَعْنِي قَصِيرًا. O Nabi of Allah, your wife Safiya. Safiya radiallahu anha's father was Huyay ibn Akhtab. Huyay ibn Akhtab was a staunch Yahud. When she accepted Islam and she was favored and she became the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the other wives had a sense of skepticism towards her, given her lineage that she came from some Jewish origin. And there was some sense of reservation towards her. So one day Aisha radiallahu anha said, oh, your wife Safiya, she's so short, what's so good about her? Nabi alayhi salam said, Aisha, I love you, and you are the daughter of Abu Bakr. But today you have said such a statement, لَقَدْ كُلْتِ كَلِمَةً. It is so impure. If it has to be given a liquid form and placed into the water, لَنَجَسَتِ الْبَحْرُ. It will contaminate the oceans of the entire world. It will contaminate the oceans of the entire world. Like someone said it very beautifully, مَا إِن نَدِمْتُ عَلَى سُكُوتِي مَرَّةً وَلَقَدْ نَدِمْتُ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ مِرَارًا. In my life, I never regretted my silence. But there were many times I regretted, why did I speak? When I was silent and then I analyzed the argument and I walked out, Alhamdulillah, I was silent, I'm happy. But whenever I spoke, I regretted. Whenever I spoke, I regretted. So, Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, what I was saying is that we got to look into spiritual reasons also. One sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salatu was salam and he said, Ya Rasulallah, ashku ilayka qaswata qalbi. My heart has become very hard. Now today we have this problem, but we haven't yet identified it as a problem, hence we're not looking at measures to cure it. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, imsah ra'as al-yateem wa at'imil miskeen. You have distanced yourself from the poor, and this is the result of the hardness of your heart. One day the Nabi of Allah gave a talk and all the Sahaba started crying. One Sahabi, Zaid radiallahu anhu, could not cry. In the gatherings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that could not cry was odd. Just as in our gatherings, the one that cries is odd. Someone cries, say, what happened to you? Is he okay? Stabilize him. In the time of Nabi alayhi salam, when he spoke, the one that did not cry was the odd one. What has happened to you? You couldn't cry? The words of Quran and Hadith and you cannot cry? Salih Muzani rahmatullah alayhi says, I read the Quran in a dream to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salam told me, Ya Salih, hadhihi al-qira'a fa'in al-buka. Salih, you read the Quran, but you know Quran and tears go side by side. You read the Quran, where are the tears? Allah favor us with that atmosphere, with that feeling, that we read and we understand. Uthman radiallahu anhu used to say, لَوْ أَنَّ قُلُوبَنَا طَهُرَتْ مَا شَبِعْنَا مِنْ كَلَامِ رَبِّنَا. If our hearts were cleansed from the pollution of this world, we would have never tired listening to the word of Allah. We would have never tired. So Nabi alayhi salam said, everyone started crying. Zayd radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, I cannot cry. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, جُمُودُ الْعَيْنِ مِنْ قَصْوَةِ الْقَلْبِ وَقَصْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ مِنْ كَثْرَةِ الذُّنُوبِ وَكَثْرَةِ الذُّنُوبِ مِنْ نِسْيَانِ الْمَوْتِ وَنِسْيَانِ الْمَوْتِ مِنْ طُولِ الْأَمَلِ وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ مِنْ حُبِّ الدُّنْيَا وَحُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. That the lack of tears is because of hard-heartedness. And hard-heartedness is because of excessive sinning. And excessive sinning is when a man becomes unmindful of death. And a person becomes unmindful of death when he becomes ambitious in this world. And when a man becomes ambitious in this world, then this is the mother of all evils. Imagine the wife of Fir'aun, Allah gave her great honor. But to preserve her iman, it meant up giving up a royal life. Her price was great. رَبِّ بْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah, I'm giving up the palace of Fir'aun, the royal life of Fir'aun. You promise me the palace in Jannat. So what are the physical, what are the spiritual reasons? When we look into our lives, the spiritual causes. One pious person said, whenever I disobey Allah, I notice my children and my conveyance both rebel against me. They both rebel against me. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, when he took roll call of his army and he could not find the particular bird which was tasked to locate water, Hudhud. So he said, Mali la aral hudhuda amkana min al ghaibin. What is the matter? I cannot see the bird. Scholars write, he first asked himself, what's wrong with me? And in the quotation of the tafasir it is written, إِذَا فَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ تَفَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. That the pious were such, when they failed to accomplish their objectives, they examined their actions. What is wrong with me? What is the matter with me? What have I done? So this is it. We've got to look into the spiritual reasons and how we can remedy ourselves through those avenues. Anyway, the Sahaba had this problem in their family. They came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, we'll go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll ask him to make dua. And then Allah ta'ala will solve our problem. We're having problems in business, whatever it is. We take the matter to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now look at the vision of Sahaba. Look at the outlook of Sahaba. As they walk in by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy. He said, marhaban bil ansar. Marhaba, come oh my ansar. لا تسألوني اليوم شيئا إلا أعطيتكموه ولا أسأل الله لكم شيئا إلا أعطانيه. Whatever you're going to ask me today, I will give it to you. And whatever I ask Allah on your behalf, Allah will give it to me. You make the decision whatever you want. They had come to ask that Nabi alayhi salam must make dua for prosperity in their business. When they got the glad tidings that whatever they'll ask will be granted, immediately, فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. They called up an immediate meeting. They said, when we got assurance of the acceptance of our request, let us not be foolish to put our material needs. Why don't we ask for forgiveness now? I mean, of course, our business problems stand as it is. It's in its place. But we've come here, and this is what we were told, that whatever we want, we get, leave that here. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, come. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what's the matter? He said, no, Nabi of Allah, make dua, Allah must forgive us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that's all? He said, no, that's all. Allahumma ghfir lil ansar wa li abna'i al ansar wa li abna'i abna'i al ansar wa li azwaji al ansar wa li jirani al ansar. Allah, these ansara, ya Allah, forgive them. Allah, forgive their wives. Allah, forgive their children. Allah, forgive their grandchildren, and forgive their neighbors also, Allah. Everyone's maghfirat was made on this dua of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what was the intention they came with, and what was their priority? What was the prime concern? What did they present before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And this was the vision of the woman of Sahaba. On the occasion of the conquest of Makkah, there was a general understanding in Makkah that you must do one of two things. Either you flee from Makkah or you accept Islam. But once Islam has, the Muslims have conquered Makkah, now safety lies in either embracing this faith or leaving. There were those that accepted Islam. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, where people came in droves. And others, they fled from Makkah. Ikrama, the son of Abu Jahl, he was amongst those that fled from Makkah. His wife, Umm Harith bint Hakim bin Hisham, she accepted Islam. And her husband fled from Makkah. While they were sailing on the boat, they seen a storm coming. And he started turning to his deities, but he was told that, you know what, yeah, it is only the true Allah that can help you. فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. His wife came to Nabi alayhi salam, she accepted Islam. And she said, O Nabi of Allah, you know my son Ikrama, my husband Ikrama, he is the son of Abu Jahl, and he comes from a very proud lineage. If you perhaps could extend your security to him so that he could be granted amnesty, then perhaps he would return and accept Islam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Huwa Amin, he is safe. She then went to the shores. Look at the devotion of this woman. She went to the shores. And she stood by waiting that this boat will return. And when the husband returns, because they could not go because of the storm, and they disembark from the boat, and he narrates his tragedy and the difficulty they experience. So this woman comes and she consoles her husband and she says, يَبْنَ عَمْ جِئْتُكَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَبَرِّ النَّاسِ وَأَوْصَلِ النَّاسِ وَخَيْرِ النَّاسِ. Listen, O my husband, listen to me, hear me out. I have come from the noblest of people, the most pious, the most kind, the most loving, the most caring. Don't destroy yourself. I have spoken to the Nabi of Allah and he has accepted, he has given you amnesty, he has given you security. Come and recite kalima. And it comes in that riwayat, she accepted Islam, وَهِيَ بُتَنَقِّبَ, and immediately she donned the hijab. She was in total hijab. As they were returning, he intended coming close to her, as a husband would towards his wife. So she declined and she says, no, I have accepted Islam and you're a kafir. But let me take you to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, Nabi alayhi salam was so kind. Nabi alayhi salam said, يَأْتِيكُمْ عِكْرَمَةُ مُؤْمِنًا فَلَا تَصُبُّوا أَبَاهُ فَإِنَّ سَبَّ الْمَيِّتْ يُؤْذِ الْحَيِّ وَلَا يَبْلُغُ الْمَيِّتِ. That Ikrama is coming as a Muslim, don't taunt him about his late father, for verily insulting the deceased offends the living. Ikrama comes forward, he sits down, and then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives him dawat, and he accepts Islam there and there. Umm Sulaim radiallahu anha, who is married to Abu Talha. Abu Talha comes to propose to Umm Sulaim. Umm Sulaim says, I cannot get married to you, you're a non-Muslim, you'll have to accept Islam. And then she tells him, but don't you feel ashamed to worship stones? So Abu Talha says, okay, I will accept Islam, what dowry do you want? She says, no, I want no dowry, you accept Islam and that is your dowry to me. فَكَانَ إِسْلَامُهُ مَهْرُهَا. He accepted Islam and that was the dowry she accepted. She said, I don't want anything in physical or tangible. You accept Islam and you become a devoted Sahabi of Islam, and that is enough for me. So this is it, when the fikr of deen was taking place, and that was the vision and that was the outlook. One day Fatima radiallahu anha, what Ali radiallahu anhu, Hafiz Shamsuddin Zahabi makes mention of this riwayat in his Kitab al-Kabair. Fatima radiallahu anha says, I came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, فَوَجَدَنَاهُ يَبْكِي بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا. I found Nabi alayhi salam crying profusely. So I asked Nabi alayhi salam, مَا الَّذِي أَبْكَاكَ. O Nabi of Allah, what makes you cry? And really, sisters, we must make dua to Allah that Allah favor us with those moments that we can cry. There is a different sweetness in crying and lamenting over one's wrong and crying in seclusion with Allah. أَهْلُ اللَّيْلِ فِي لَيْلِهِمْ أَلَذُّ مِنْ أَهْلِ اللَّهُوِ فِي لَهُوِهِمْ. Someone said, the pleasure the pious enjoy in obeying Allah is greater than the pleasure the sinners get in disobeying Allah. There's a different spirituality to that. So anyway, Fatima radiallahu anha says, Nabi alayhi salam was crying profusely. Myself and Ali, my husband, came. So I said, O Nabi of Allah, what makes you cry? Nabi alayhi salam said, Laylata usriya bi ila sama, ra'aytu nisa'an min ummati yu'adhabna bi anwa'il azabi, fabakaytu lima ra'aytu min shiddati azabihin. Fatima, you know, when I ascended the heavens on the occasion of Mi'raj, Then on that particular night, I seen certain categories of my ummah, in particular the females. They were being subjected to such forms of severe adab, and I still can picture that scene, and whenever I think of it, it makes me cry. Hafiz Shamsuddin Zahabi makes mention of this riwayat. رَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً مُعَلَّقَةً بِشَعْرِهَا يَغْلِي دِمَاغُهَا. I seen one woman hung by her hair, suspended in Jahannam, and her brains were boiling. تَلْفَحُ وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارُ وَهُمْ فِيهَا كَالِحُونَ. تَلْفَحُ وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارُ وَهُمْ فِيهَا كَالِحُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, with the severe punishment of Jahannam, their faces will be disfigured. Kalih in Arabic literally means that the upper lip will go to the head, the lower lip will go to the stomach. Dhirsuhu mithla jabali Uhud. The gums of a Jahannami will be the size of Mount Uhud. Yatajarra'uhu wa la yakadu yusighuhu wa ya'tihi al-mawtu min kulli makan. Out of severe thirst, they will ask for drink. They will be given the pus that comes out of the injuries sustained in Jahannam. They will bring it close to their mouths, but it will be too difficult to consume it. But the thirst will be unbearable. They will try and consume it, but they won't be able to do it. Death will approach them from every angle, yet they will never die. So I seen one woman, she was hung by her hair, suspended in Jahannam. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً مُعَلَّقَةً بِلِسَانِهَا وَالْحَمِيمُ يُصَبُّ فِي حَلْقِهَا. And I seen one woman, she was hung by her tongue, and the fire was being poured into her throat, deep down. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً مُعَلَّقَةً بِثَدِيَيْهَا. And I seen one woman hung by her chest. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً قَدْ شُدَّتْ رِجْلَاهَا إِلَىٰ ثَدِيَيْهَا وَيَدَاهَا إِلَىٰ نَاصِيَتِهَا. And I seen one woman, her legs were tied to her chest, and her hands were tied to her forehead. And Nabi alayhi salam is crying as he's narrating this. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً رَأْسُهَا رَأْسُ خِنْزِيرٍ وَبَدَنُهَا بَدَنُ حِمَارٍ عَلَيْهَا أَلْفُ أَلْفُ لَوْنٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. Fatima, what must I tell you, my daughter Fatima? I seen one woman, she had the face of a khinzir. She had the face of a pig. She had the body of a mule and a donkey. عَلَيْهَا أَلْفُ أَلْفُ لَوْنٍ مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ. And on her were the most severe forms of adab. وَرَأَيْتُ إِمْرَأَةً عَلَى سُورَةِ الْكَلْبِ. And the sixth woman I seen, she was in the form of a dog. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضْرِبُونَ رَأْسَهَا بِمَقَامِعَ مِنْ نَارِ. And the angels were striking her head with the hammers of Jahannam. Fatima radiallahu anha cried and she stood up and she said, مَا كَانَ أَعْمَالُ هَٰؤُلَىٰ. O my father, what were the crimes and what were the sins of these women? What vice did they commit that they had to suffer these consequences? Nabi alayhi salam said, أَمَّا الْمُعَلَّقَةُ بِشَعْرِهَا فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ لَا تُغَطِّي شَعْرَهَا مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. That first woman who was hung by her hair, Nabi alayhi salam says, then she was dragged towards Jahannam. The first woman that was hung by her hair in Jahannam, suspended, she was that woman that left her hair uncovered before strange men. In Jalalain it is written, أَنَّ الْمَلَكْ لَا يَدْخُلْ عَلَىٰ إِمْرَأَةٍ مَكْشُوفَةِ الرَّأْسِ. Any woman who exits from her house, exposing her hair to strange men, no angel of mercy comes close to her. The malaika of rahmah distant themselves from such a woman. إِذَا اسْتَعْتَرَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ فَمَرَّتْ بِالْمَجْلِسِ فَهِيَ كَذَا وَكَذَا يَعْنِي زَانِيَةٌ. When a woman uses strong deodorants, and then she exits from her house, and deliberately passes by the gatherings of men, Nabi alayhi salam says, she is an adulteress. She is an adulteress. La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an-nadhira wal-manzoor ilay. Allah's curse is on that male who casts a nasty glance on a strange woman. And Allah's curse is equally on that woman who presents herself that strange men can look at her. What was the condition of the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sarah, the first wife of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam? We learn that when he comes into Misr, the riwayat of Bukhari, and Malikum min al-Jababira, there was a tyrant ruler there. So Ibrahim alayhi salam tells his wife that if any man is traveling with his wife, this man will abduct her and satisfy himself. So we will use some vague, ambiguous language. I will make reference to you as my sister, and you will make reference to me as my brother. Anyway, as they come, she performs 2 rakat salah. She makes wudu, she performs 2 rakat salah. And then she makes dua to Allah. Allahumma in kuntu ahsantu farji illa ala zawji, fala tusallit alayya hadha al-kafir. Allah, you know I loved with fidelity. You know I loved with integrity. I never allowed any male other than my husband to come close to me, Allah. Allah, I ask you through the intercession of fidelity that I have displayed to you and the loyalty to my spouse, let not the kafir touch me nor come close to me. Anyway, she presents in the court of the kafir. He had his evil agenda. He stretches a lustful hand towards her. The riwayat of Bukhari, his hand becomes paralyzed. He asked for forgiveness. She forgives him. He withdraws his hand. Again provoked by his ego, again he stretches his hand. Again it becomes paralyzed. When there was taqwa in the female of this ummah, when there was chastity and morality and piety and integrity in the female of this ummah, then this were her likes, that any person coming close to her, this was the outcome of such a man. On 3 instances, in the end he withdraws and he realizes this is no ordinary woman. And that is the time he is so impressed that he asks for forgiveness. And he gives Hajra alayhi salam as a gift to Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. Wa akhdamaha Hajra. So the first woman that was hung in Jahannam, fa innaha kanat la tughatti sha'raha min ar-rijal. She did not cover her hair from strange men. Wa amma al-mu'allaqatu bi lisaniha fa innaha kanat tu'dhi zawjaha. And the one who was hung by her tongue, she verbally, repeatedly, emphatically, deliberately, explicitly abused, physically abused, verbally abused her husband. Repeatedly she verbally abused him. She spoke about this, she spoke about that. She never took control over her tongue. When the slander was leveled against Aisha radiallahu anha, Abu Ayyub Ansari came home, the riwayat is in Durr-e Manthoor. So his wife told him, Abu Ayyub, you heard what happened to Aisha. To start off a discussion of someone else. Typical. You heard what they saying. Abu Ayyub said, what are they saying? He said, no, they're saying that this has happened. Abu Ayyub Ansari said, it is a lie. Then he asked her, tell me my wife, will you do something like this? She says, no, 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 I will never do it. So he said, you being the wife of Abu Ayyub, you'll never do it. Aisha being the wife of Muhammad, she will do it? I don't want to ever hear you speak things like this again in the house. Don't ever bring these type of discussions at home. You my wife and you won't do it, and Aisha the wife of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she will do it. Ma bagat imra'atu nabiyyin qattu. The riwayat of Ibn Abbas, also in Durr-e Manthoor. Ibn Abbas says, you will find the likes of certain prophets whose spouses were disbelievers. But you will never find one prophet whose wife was immoral or unchaste. You will never find one prophet whose wife is immoral or unchaste. It has never happened. The tarteeb of Allah. So the woman that was hung by her tongue in Jahannam, فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ تُؤْذِي زَوْجَهَا. Verbally she used to abuse her husband. It is important that we understand the manner of speech, the manner of speech, the etiquettes, the adab. If you look into the occasion of the khutbah of nikah, 2 people are getting married, but the verses speak about the importance of communicating. The ayat that are selected on the occasion of nikah, certain ayat deal, one ayat is with nikah, few with taqwa, and the others are how to speak.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum. If this marriage will start where both husband and wife know how to speak, then inshallah this marriage will prosper. If they will have the adab of speaking. Wa qul li ibadi yaqulu allati hiya ahsan. This ayat was revealed in Qurtubi. It is written, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had an argument with a kafir. And he told Sayyidina Umar something, Hazrat Umar told him something. And it was on the verge of a major fight breaking out. And then Allah revealed the verse. Mufti Shafiz Sahib Rahmatullah has written in Ma'riful Quran with reference to Qurtubi on this ayat that in Islam, if the need is to wage war, Allah has given ijazat for jihad. That by virtue of that, Allah's deen will be established. One side, which is an apparent aggressive measure, Allah has permitted that. But at no stage in Islam has Allah permitted harshness of speech, because out of that nothing is achieved. He said the sword, there is also permission for the sword, something, but harshness of speech has never been permitted, because the outcome of that is only bitter and sour. There is never good out of that. So the second woman that was hung in Jahannam, by her tongue is because she had verbally abused her husband. وَأَمَّا الْمُعَلَّقَةُ بِثَدْيَيْهَا, the woman that was hung by her chest, فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ تَفْسُدُ فِرَاشَ زَوْجِهَا, she was an immoral woman, unchaste woman. Allah tells the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, وَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَتْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, that whenever you have to speak to strange men, not in an abrupt way, but do not deliberately sweeten your voice. And on the other hand, as men, Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, a dayyuth will never enter Jannah. Who is a dayyuth? A cuckold. Who, O Nabi of Allah? Alladhi yadkhulu ala ahlihi ar-rijal. That person who doesn't mind his wife speak to strange men and entertain them. If he's comfortable, cuckold is a type of a bird, and this is the nature of this bird. It doesn't mind that its female would go somewhere else. That male who is comfortable that his female goes somewhere else, and he does not prevent that or curtail that, then Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, even the fragrance of Jannah is forbidden on such a man. How sad, today a man has become possessive over his car, his wealth, his other things. Whereas a person supposed to be possessive over his iman, his wife, his daughter, that's a sense of possession. That is something that you got to hold on to. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says, that I sat with the Sahaba and I found them ra'aytu aqwaman kana ahaduhum ashaha ala umrihi minhu ala dirhamihi. They were more possessive over their time than their wealth. You could take their money, it didn't mean any, but don't waste the man's time. That was Sahaba. Don't waste my time. Money you can use it, no problem. But don't waste their time. Their time was more than their money. Now today you look at home, how much time goes for a woman sitting on a phone? Of course, it's necessary at times, casual interaction. But then analyze that discussion. So much delay in other amal because of chatting on the phone. I'm not talking of the phone bill. I'm talking about what speech takes place, what ghibat takes place, what look at the tartib of the Quran. Maulana Ibrahim Dawla Damat Barakatuh one day mentioned this here. Allah says, do not harbor ill feelings against anyone. And then Allah says, do not search for the faults of anyone. And thirdly, Allah says, do not backbite about anyone. Now if you look at this tartib of the Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا. This is how a sin enters in. First you harbor ill feelings. After harboring ill feelings, then you investigate the crime. And when you find that woman is guilty of what your assumption regarding her was, you rejoice that your conclusion was correct. Instead of being sad that this woman is committing this wrong, you said, no, you see, she's up to something. And when you investigate and you find that your assumption was correct, you rejoice. And when you rejoice, now you broadcast that sin. So you commit all those three sins together. And hence Islam says from the beginning, don't entertain negative thoughts. Do not entertain negative thoughts. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنْ فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. Do not sit and think bad about other women. It's very important. Unfortunately, women have this tendency to sit and think ill of others. We supposed to have a clean heart and think good of others. Good of others, think bright about others, think positive about others. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is sitting with Aisha radiallahu anha, someone knocks on the door. Nabi sallam said, who is it? They said, so and so. Nabi sallam said, bi'sa akhul ashira. Oh, very evil man of his tribe. Very evil man of his tribe. He comes in, falana lahul qawl. Nabi sallam, polite, come inside, sit down. Nabi sallam was very kind to him. When he went out, Aisha radiallahu anha said, oh Nabi of Allah, you said very evil man, but then you were very polite to him. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, I said that he has evil habits, that doesn't mean I must be evil to him. The most evil man in the eyes of Allah is the one who severs relation with someone because he is not a good man. More evil than him is the one that abandons relation with him. فَلَانَ لَهُ الْقَوْلِ. Nabi sallam spoke to him politely, with love, with hikmat. So let us have good opinions about others. Let us clean our heart. They say we must entertain a good thought like a good visitor, and a bad thought like an abrupt visitor. If he's harsh, you'll be rude, inshallah it will not come to you. And good thoughts entertaining so that more of these thoughts can come repeatedly. And there is a dua, of course, when an evil thought comes, Allahumma la ya'ti bil hasanati illa ant, wa la yadhhabu bis sayyi'ati illa ant, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa bik. That Allah, good comes from you, bad comes from you. One sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salam, O Nabi of Allah, such evil thoughts are crossing my mind, la an akuna humamatan ahabbu ilayya min an atakallam bihi. If Allah reduces me to coal and I'm burned, that is better for me than to mention what is coming in my heart and my mind. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi radda amrahu ilal waswasa. All praise belongs to Allah that it is only thoughts This is a sign of pure iman. If it wasn't iman, those thoughts would have been actions. So the coming of thoughts is from, it's natural. Of course, to bring the thoughts is wrong. To fantasize, to explore on it, that is wrong. So this is the tartib. So let us learn to keep our hearts clean. And one dua of Hazratji Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi comes to mind. Hazratji used to make this dua. And today, while the world is harping that the forces of kufr must withdraw from Muslim territories. I read this in one of his kitabs. He used to make this dua, Allahumma akhrijil yahudiyata wal nasraniyata an qulubil muslimin. Allah, before driving the Yahud and the Nasara out of the lands of the Muslims, drive Judaism and Christianity out of the hearts of the Muslims. If they withdraw from all Muslim territories, but they reside within our homes, and they have a place in our heart, then what have we achieved? They leave Makkah, they leave Medina, they leave Iraq, they leave Palestine, they leave all Muslim territories. But in our hearts we idolize them, we honor them. Then what have we achieved? The place, the greatest place where they have secured is this heart. So that is the second woman. The third woman, فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ تَفْسُدُ فِرَاشَ زَوْجِهَا وَأَمَّا الَّتِي تُشَدُّ رِجْلَاهَا إِلَىٰ ثَدْيَيْهَا وَيَدَاهَا إِلَىٰ نَاصِيَتِهَا. And that woman whose legs were tied to her chest and her hands were tied to her forehead, فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ لَا تُطَهِّرُ نَفْسَهَا مِنَ الْجَنَابَةِ وَتَسْتَهْزِئُ بِالصَّلَاةِ. This woman, the fourth woman, the nature of her azab as we describe, she was very negligent with regards to the aspect of purity. When it was time for her to take ghusl and perform salah, she was very negligent in this regard. And she used to delay her salah. Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that a man has left his shop and come into the masjid. That is the external appearance of salah. The spirit of salah is that he leaves his shop and equally leaves the thoughts of his shop. A woman left her kitchen and went into the room to perform salah. This is the external appearance of salah. She has to leave the kitchen and the thoughts of the kitchen. That is the time now this ruh of salah has entered into her. On the contrary, what is our condition? Allah forgive, in our salah we are planning haram. We are thinking of haram in salah. So this woman, she was negligent about her salah. She was very casual, she was very lax. You read under the commentary of this ayah where Allah speaks about the munafiqeen. فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. Allah speaks about how sahoon, how negligent, how careless, how unmindful they were about salah. Fuqaha say 15 minutes before sunset, if a woman becomes parked, that asr namaz is farz on her. She ideally delays it till the next morning and she starts from zuhr. What happens to her asr? What happens to her maghrib? What happens to her isha? What happens to her fajr? This woman was negligent about her salah. In fact, it is written in kitabs, I came across this riwayat, that the sahabiyat used to get up in the dead of night, they used to light up their lanterns, and then they used to get up and see, have we become parked so that we can make tahajjud and read our isha. Today we enjoy all comforts, and yet we are negligent about our salah. Allah Ta'ala barely introduces himself Allah barely introduces himself to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and the next injunction is salah. What is the strength of salah? We learn about that famous incident of Juraij. Allahu Akbar. Really, that is the greatest thing we can give our children is deen. Beautiful riwayat in Muslim Sharif. Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu says, my father called me on the eve of the battle of Jamal. Da'ani yawm al Jamal. What talent? What responsibility, what maturity they left in their children. My father called me and he said, إِنَّهُ لَا يُقْتَلْ الْيَوْمِ إِلَّا ظَالِمْ أَوْ مَظْلُومِ وَإِنِّي أُرَانِي سَأُقْتَلْ الْيَوْمِ مَظْلُومِ. Oh my son, I think today I'm going to die. Tomorrow is the battle and I think this will be my end. Imagine on the last moment today, do we have that sense of mature children that a father can call his son, tell his wife, you know what, I'm going for 4 months, it's tashkil, I'm on my way out. You see to this, you arrange this and I'm gone. The father calls his son and he says, you know what, my boy, tomorrow I think I'll be passing away. A few hours before his death, he calls his son. And what amanat does he leave on his children? This is when the tarbiyat of deen took place. He calls his son on the evening. He says, tomorrow I'm going in the battle and I will pass away. Wa inna min akbari hammi ladaini. The greatest worry I leave behind are my debts. You look after your mother and settle my debts. I'm going and I won't return. أَفَتَرَى دَيْنَنَا يُبْقِي مِن مَالِنَا شَيْئًا. You look at my assets, see whatever my liabilities are, you settle my debts, and وَأَوْصَى بِالثُّلُثِ, a third of my wealth, you must distribute here, and if anything remains, then you must give some of them to your children, that is my grandchildren. Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, my father called me, I was so hysterical, my father is telling me that I'm going and I will never return. On the last moment, not for 40 days or 4 months, I will never return. وَلَهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ تِسْعُ بَنِينَ وَتِسْعُ بَنَاتٍ. My father leaves behind 18 children and 4 wives. And he makes the last call on the last minute, I'm going to take care, I won't come back. What maturity, what integrity, what responsibility. Anyway, he says, the next day my father goes, he passes away. The riwayat is in Muslim Sharif. My father passes away, I arrange for the ghusl and the kafan. And before he passed away, the last thing he told me, my son, I'm leaving now, make sure my debts are settled. Make sure my debts, this is very important. Unfortunately, we're very negligent. Nabi Alayhi Salaam says, يُغْفَرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ. Allah will forgive every sin of a martyr but his debts. Whenever a janazah was brought, Nabi Alayhi Salaatu Wasalam used to ask, did he leave behind wealth to settle his debts? If yes, bring his janazah forward, I'll perform it, otherwise you perform his janazah. Of course, that was the initial stages, and then when Allah opened up wealth, then look at the kindness of Nabi Alayhi Salaam, he said, مَنْ تَرَكَ مَالًا فَلِأَهْلِهِ وَمَنْ تَرَكَ دَيْنًا أَوْ ضِيَاعًا فَعَلَيَّ. Whoever dies leaving behind wealth, tell him, although his Nabi is the closest to him, I don't want any of his money. But if he dies leaving behind debts, tell him his Nabi will settle his debts and father his children. On the contrary, we are there, like someone said, where there is a will, they are relatives. When there is wealth, that is the time we are there. And when there are debts, who is ready to take that forward? Nabi alayhi salam said, I will settle his debts and I will father his children. There are numerous ahadith of that nature where the Nabi of Allah himself took an active part. So anyway, my father told me, in عَجَزْتَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ فَاسْتَعِنْ عَلَيْهِ بِمَوْلَايَ. Oh my son, you look after your mother. Maturity. Jabir radiallahu anhu gets married. Nabi Sassim told him, Bikran am Thayyiban. You got married to a young girl or a woman who was previously married. So he said, no, Nabi of Allah, my wife is a widow actually. Nabi Sassim said, Halla Bikran, تُلَاعِبُهَا وَتُلَاعِبُكَ. You're a young boy, you should have got married to a young girl. He said, yes, O Nabi of Allah, I understand what you say. But actually, my mother had passed away and I have a lot of young sisters. I didn't want to bring a wife who will be a friend to my sisters. I needed to bring a wife who can be a mother to my sisters and a partner to me. So I had to suppress my emotions in taking cognizance of my sisters. What was the maturity of those people? What jazba, what aspiration doesn't a young boy have? The riwayat comes in Muslim Sharif. One Ansari wanted to propose to one woman. Nabi Sassam said, you had a look at her? Said no. Nabi Sassam said, have a look at her. Some of these Ansari women, they have a defect in their eye. It mustn't be after you get married, you say, I don't like her eyes. This is the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So she comes. He comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and says, you know what, I know I proposed to you, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I must have a look at you. She said, you promised that the Nabi of Allah has given permission? He says, yes. He says, well, if he's given you permission, I'll unveil myself, otherwise I won't allow you to look at me. If he's given permission, I will unveil myself, you can have a look at my face, otherwise, فَإِنِّي أُحَرِّجُ إِلَيْكَ. Otherwise, I have a problem with you looking at me. So this was their vision, this was their outlook. Jabir radiallahu anhu, when getting married, he looks at his young sisters at home. What is jihad was taking place, martyrdom took place, orphans were taking place, this was the order of the day. And accordingly, that was the tartib of life. And this again came from simplicity. Like someone said, whatever is, becomes common, becomes easy, even if it's difficult. And whatever is uncommon, becomes difficult, even if it's easy. Whatever is common becomes easy. To have an elaborate function is such a tall order, such a mammoth task, but it's easy because it's common. And to have a simple function and let your daughter leave with basic things is so easy, but it's difficult because it's uncommon. People say, I don't know, the bride left or a janaza left. How he set his daughter off. My father told me, in عَجَزْتَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ فَاسْتَعِنْ عَلَيْهِ بِمَوْلَايَ. Boy, I'm going, I won't come back, settle my debts. If you have a problem, speak to, not my attorney, my master. So you say, speak to my actuary, speak to my accountant, speak to my master. My last words with my father was, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا دَرَيْتُ مَا أَرَادْ حَتَّى قُلْتُ يَا أَبَتِي وَمَنْ مَوْلَاكَ. I said, Papa, your master, you just want to refresh my memory again, who are you referring to? He said, my son, Allah. My Allah, you ask my Allah, I am going, take care. فوالله ما وقعت في كردوة من دينه إلا قلت يا مولى الزبير اقضي عنه دينه. My father passed away, I arranged for his ghusl, everything was done. I made the calculations. My father was owing 1,200,000 dirhams. But what amanat he left behind, what children they left behind. Today, unfortunately, a man has to, I met one brother, he said, Maulana, this son of mine has cost me so much money, I had to sell my house, I had to sell my car, I lost everything that I go and I'm still owing so much, all because of the wrong of my son. 1,200,000 dirhams. He says, I worked out everything. And وَلَمْ يَدَعْ دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. And he left behind not one dirham nor dinar. He called me on the evening, he says, I'm going, I'll be martyred, sort out everything, I'll meet you in Jannah. The riwayat in Muslim Sharif. What? You know, one can repeatedly marvel at this. But he left behind two pieces of land. One in a place called Ghaba, and one in a different place. إِحْدَى عَشَرَةَ دَارًا بِالْكُوفَةِ. 11 houses he left behind in Kufa. دَارَيْنِ بِالْبَصْرَة. 2 houses in Basra. دَارًا بِمِصْر. 1 house in Egypt. And all this that came to him, he never worked. Whatever he owned, all this wealth and property, this was the returns he got from the spoils of the war with the jihad with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar. He never worked. My father never worked. And furthermore, the 1,200,000 dirhams that he owed, that he was owing, and were his debts, he did not borrow a cent from there. But it was the nature of my father, whenever people came and told him that, you know what, Zubair, can you keep this money with you? Then my father used to say, no, I won't keep it as an amanat. You know why? The ruling of an amanat is, if it gets lost by me, then your money is gone. Rather, let me take it as a loan. So even if it gets lost, your money is secured. I owe it to you. Whenever anybody came and said, keep 100 rand for me as an amanat, they said, no, I'll take, if I keep it as an amanat and without negligence on my part, it's lost. Your money is gone. Let's secure your money. I make it a loan on me. I make it a loan. أَخْشَى عَلَيْهِمُ الضَّيْعَةِ. So this is how he used to desire good. In the Hasha of Muslim Sharif, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has made mention of one riwayat of Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali radiyallahu anhu. He was a very handsome sahabi. He accepted Islam fairly in the latter part prior to the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He came to Nabi alayhi salam and he pledged that he will be kind to every Muslim. People used to come and make different pledges. He came and he said, I will be good to every Muslim. Wherever I see, I'll help a Muslim. So one day he sent one of his servants that go and buy a horse. He went to purchase the horse, he came back. How much you pay? He said, 400 dirhams. He says, no, man, this horse is very good, you should pay more for it. Take me back to the owner. Imagine if we have clientele like that. Anyway, they came, he says, you know what? My servant came, he bought this horse from you. He says, yes. He says, I think you've underpriced it. You know what? How about make a better bill? I'm ready to pay you more. How much more? He says, 500. He says, oh, no problem, man. He says, make it even more, man. Make it 600. He says, make it more, man. 700. He says, all right, double it. Say 800. Well, the more you give, the more happy I am. I have no problem. Paid him 800. He walked out of there. Someone said, Mashallah, congratulations. You got a nice conveyance. He says, Ya Alhamdulillah, make dua. What you paid? I paid 800. Oh, I'll get you 2 for that price. He says, no, I also could get 2. But actually, I had pledged kindness to every Muslim on every instance. And kindness to this man at this time demanded I give him more than he expected. So my father's debts were, he never borrowed money from anyone. People used to come and tell him, keep this. He said, no, I'll take it as an amanat rather. I'll rather borrow it. It's a debt on me. And in this way he borrowed and he was owing 1,200,000 dirhams. Anyway, I made all the hisab. Then he says, few days after my father's death, Hakim ibn Hizam came. Now, halat is coming on the family. How do we react? Hakim ibn Hizam came. He says, you know, I'm sorry to you about your father's death. I'm sure you must have done all the calculations. Is there any outstanding money? So, Abdullah ibn Jafar radiallahu anhu said, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu said, فَكَتَمْتُهُ. I thought in myself that my father made me in charge and my father said, I must do to Allah. Why must I tell him the true figure? I said, yeah, my father is owing just about 100,000. My father is owing about 100,000, whereas the actual amount was 1,200,000. So, Hakim ibn Hizam said, مَا أُرِيكُمْ أَمْوَالَكُمْ تُتِيقُونَ هَذِهِ. I don't think your financial position will allow you to settle 100,000. So he says, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, Ya Allah, my father is owing 1,200,000 and you saying that my financial position won't allow me to settle it. So I told him, I just dragged the topic with him more. I said, and if I have to tell you my father is owing 1,000,000, what will you tell me? He said, well, all the more then I'll tell you, you won't be in a financial position. So again, subhanAllah, what was the sifat of Sahaba? He said, look, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of those details. All I'm telling you, in ajastum an shay'in minhu, you have any problem, you don't worry, you come and take it from me and I don't want it back. That's all, that's why I'm asking. I know your father is martyred and everything, whatever he was doing, you come to me, whatever you take it from me. So I said, no problem, jazakallah. I'm happy with it, but if I need, I'll let you know. Anyway, he took the one land that his father brought in Ghaba. His father bought it for 170,000, he sold it for 1,700,000. And the value, the escalated, he sold it for 1 million, and then he made an announcement that man kana ala zubairi shay'un falyatina, whoever has that my father is owing him any money, he must come and meet me at this place and I will give it. Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiallahu anhu came and he says, you know what, according to my records, your father owes me 400,000, but I promise you I don't need it. If you overlook it, I'll be happy. I don't need the money. So your father was owing you, I just thought I'd come and tell you, but you can forget about it. So he said, no, nothing like forgetting. My father owed you, I want to give it to you. We demarcate the land and you can take it. So Abdullah ibn Ja'far said, no, okay, let's do this. For in shi'itum ja'altumuha fima tu'akhiruna in akhartum. Make me the last of the debtors to settle. You pay me last. Pay me last. Then afterwards you send. He said, no, here's it. So he worked out. Now look at the vision of Abdullah ibn Ja'far, what barakat Allah gave him also. He said, okay, you insist in, I'll take the land you give me in lieu of 400,000. He takes that land in lieu of 400,000. Then Muawiyah radiallahu anhu asked him that, oh Abdullah, I believe you sent in the property of your father. He says, yeah, I gave Abdullah ibn Ja'far one portion and there's three other portions left going at 150,000 each. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, alright, I'll have one. There was another sahabi, Munzir ibn Amr, he said, I'll have one. There was a third sahabi that he said, I will have one land, 150. Then Muawiyah radiallahu anhu went to Abdullah ibn Ja'far and he says, I believe you took a very vast land there. I bought one portion, I want to take yours. I'll give you 600,000 dirhams now. He says, no problem. He took it in lieu of 400,000 dirhams. He wasn't greedy for it. In minutes time, Allah gave him 600,000 in lieu of the same thing. The hadith is very lengthy. Then the brothers of Abdullah came to him. He says, you know what, our father has passed away. When are we getting our share? When are we getting? He says, I won't give you a cent until I don't announce in four Hajj seasons in succession that after 4 years, if nobody comes and claims, then I'll start distributing. I don't want my father to be suffering in his qabr. I don't want my father to be suffering in his qabr. I want everything to, hisab must be clean. Every cent must be clean. After 4 years, when nobody came, then he started distributing. The wives that got the least share, the wives that got least, the four wives, each one of them got 1,200,000 dirhams. 19 children, 18 children he left behind. فَكَانَ جَمِيعُ مَالِهِ خَمْسُونَ أَلْفَ أَلْفٍ وَمِئَةَ أَلْفٍ. His estate was 50,200,000 dirhams. And he never worked in his life. So what I was saying, brothers, is that when deen will come into our children and maturity will come into them, responsibility will come into them, they understand, we know the famous incident, Asma radiallahu anha, when Abu Bakr went for hijrat and her father Abu Quhafa came and he asked. Now today our women know therapy and they know this style and that. Look at the insight and the foresight of this woman. She did not speak a lie, nor did she offend her grandfather. She used vague language, ambiguous speech within the parameters of the Shariat, understanding the obligation to deen and yet to her grandfather. What intellect of this young girl! Her father had to make a sudden move to jihad, to hijrat with Nabi alayhi salam. The grandfather Abu Quhafa is not a Muslim, so he cannot appreciate leaving the family and going without money. What was the tarbiyat of this girl? She knew how to handle the taqaza of hijrat and her non-Muslim grandfather. That the grandfather comes says, Hal taraka shay, your father left behind, he said, Taraka lana khayran kathir. Now the word khayr in Arabic is used for wealth also, wa innahu li hubbil khayri la shadid. And it's also used for goodness and nobility. The grandfather got the idea that it refers to wealth, and she referred to the good teachings he left behind. What understanding at that young, tender age, but what maturity she had. And then she took some pebbles, covered it, took her grandfather's hand and he placed it there. She said, oh okay, he's left behind enough money. And then she said, wallahi ma taraka lana shay, Allah's qasam, my father left behind nothing. My father left behind nothing. And that is why Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, when someone told him, anta khayrun min Abi Bakr, and that, oh Umar, you are better than Abu Bakr. This morning I mentioned that today the world has become so desperate for fame. People are excelling in evil to be recognized. Just to be recognized. Hazrat Ji, Maulana Inamul Hasan Rahmatullah Ali used to say Mullah Ahmad Lad Sahab Damat Barakatuh mentioned this in the Ulama program. Hubbe Jah, Hazrat Ji used to say, is when a person creates an opinion of himself. An opinion about himself. One pious person said, لَأَنْ أَنَامَ وَأُصْبِحَ نَائِمًا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَبِيتَ قَائِمًا وَأُصْبِحَ مُعْجِبًا. I'll prefer sleeping the whole night and getting up in the morning regretting that I did not make tahajjud, then spend the whole night in tahajjud and getting up proud that I made tahajjud. It's better I get up in the morning and I regret. One hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you don't sin, I fear a greater sin than sin itself, and that is pride over the fact that you're sinless. لَخَشِيْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ مَا هُوَ أَكْبَرُ مِنْهُ الْعُجْبُ. عُجْب. One person made ibadat of Allah for 60 years and he made dua, his dua was not accepted. Then he said, I must be feeble, I must be weak, must be my wrong. Allah said, this way you've denied yourself was better than that 60 years of ibadat. This is the essence, this is the core of ibadat. You look at the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam in the Quran when he cried to Allah. The parameters, the adab of dua. How a Nabi makes dua to Allah. وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي. Allah, my bones are gone weak. وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. My hair is gone white. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّا. But you've never deprived me. Ayyub alayhi salatu was salam. What a wife Allah favored him with. What a woman. She was the granddaughter of Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. And she seen both the errors. She seen the error of prosperity of Ayyub and the error of difficulty. فَكَانَتْ فِي الْحَالَيْنِ مَعَ زَوْجِهَا شَاكِرَةً صَابِرَةً. In the years of prosperity, she was grateful. In the years of difficulty, she was patient. The biggest pillar of support for Ayyub in his tragedies was his wife. Her name was Rahmat. And she literally was a mercy to Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah tested him according to authentic riwayat. The roof of his house caved in, which caused the 14 children of that house to die instantly. What hal? And that woman seen every form of comfort, every form of luxury, you name it, she lived in it. فَكَانَتْ فِي الْحَالَيْنِ مَعَ زَوْجِهَا شَاكِرَةً صَابِرَةً. In both the situations, she knew her role towards her husband. And then he developed a sickness. We know, according to authentic riwayat, ulcers on his body, and he was taken outside, you know, he had to be maintained, he had to be seen to, he had to be nursed. And one day after 7 years, according to one riwayat, his wife told Ayyub that, don't you think it's high time you make dua to Allah? Now Allah has tested you. Now Allah must open up the doors of prosperity again for us. We've been through so much in these times. So Ayyub alayhi salatu was salam said, can you recall how many years of prosperity we enjoyed? She said, yes, it was 80 years. He said, أَمَا أَسْتَحِي أَنْ أَتْلُبْ مِنَ اللَّهِ رَفْعَ بَلَائِي وَمَا قَضَيْتُ فِيهِ مُدَّةَ رَخَائِي. I feel shy to ask my Allah to substitute the ni'mat of prosperity by the ni'mat of sickness, to substitute it by the ni'mat of prosperity, when I enjoyed 8 decades of happiness and health and Allah has only tested me for 7 years. In one riwayat it comes, authentic riwayat of Musnad Ahmad, that one day the devil met in a disguised form with the wife of Ayyub alayhi salam. So she came to Ayyub alayhi salam and she says that, I'm prepared to cure your husband. Our elders are stressing on Tawheed. I'm prepared to cure your husband in one condition. I will cure him. The only thing I want in return is he must acknowledge me, nothing more. After he's cured, he must say, I appreciate you've treated me. That's all. The wife of Ayyub alayhi salam perhaps did not fully comprehend the implications of the statement. And she said, well, if that's the case, I don't think there's much wrong with that. I think it's okay. She came happily to her husband. And she says, oh my husband, the matter is solved. I met with a doctor and he's prepared to cure you on condition you only make one acknowledgement. You just verbally acknowledge him that I honor and I appreciate the fact you've cured me.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.